This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of November of the year 2005, and this happens to be being put on audio in the month of May of the year 2024. So that's about 18 and a half years ago that this message was published. And the reason why I give you the dates, as I have said so many times before, is because during the writing of this message, I may have mentioned certain people, places, things, or events that took place that were relevant at that particular time, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if such, I will try to give you a heads up on it. But at the same time, let me say this, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject passage of Scripture is found in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. And as I said, this is for the month of November of the year 2005. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to Christians, and in some instances, I think a lot of non-Christians have heard it before. But Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, if you have the Scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The title for this message: Our priorities are not God's priorities. Now, this month's message, which has a similar title as last month's message, could be considered as part two of that message, in that it deals with man's perception of God. Last month, I addressed what most people tend to think God is like. It was mentioned how we tend to believe that God should, in so many words, lighten up and give us a break simply because we are only human and none of us is perfect. Therefore, we can't help doing wrong, and that if he is as merciful as the Bible says he is, then he will forgive us irrespective of whether we repent or not. We looked at how we want to believe that God should get off his high horse and come down here and compromise with us. He should be our buddy. Well, that is where our main problem is, in that we want him to be like us when he is calling on us to be like him. Just as the parents should raise their children to be like them, so too does God, our Heavenly Father, want to raise us up to be like him, it is totally asinine to think that God would ever stoop down to our mentality. Yet that is exactly what we, through our actions, demand of Him if He expects us to worship Him. Well, this month's message is going a little further into this area and address just how we think and how God thinks. In life, we tend to pursue things and make decisions based on a simple formula, and that is priorities. All of us throughout life have at one time or another been faced with multiple problems and situations in which we couldn't address all of them, so therefore we had to prioritize them. When we did so, we would most likely deal with the most important problem first, then the next, and the next, and so on. Trying to deal with multiple problems at the same time will tend to drive us up the wall and into depression. Jesus once said in verse number, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 34, which is the verse right after our subject verse, he says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What he was saying is that we shouldn't worry about things that are in the future. In this case, talking about tomorrow and beyond, because there is enough to worry about today. To carry that a little further, we shouldn't worry about something that is going to happen 1 hour or so from now, but rather what is happening right now. All of this shows how we should prioritize the situations that come into our lives. If we don't prioritize things in the right way, then we are going to have serious problems somewhere down the road. Well, believe it or not, God has given us directions in how to prioritize our lives in such a way as to bring us into His perfect will, whereby we can be blessed. In the subject verse gives us the prescription that when followed will put us on the road to blessing far above all that we can ask or think. It says, "Seek ye first, not second, third, or further down, the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Let's stop right there. If you will read the entire 6th chapter of Matthew, you will see that Jesus lays out for those He is preaching to life's necessities and those things that we all naturally have need of. These are not wants, but needs. Things that are basic, must-have items. They are food and clothing. What could be more necessary than these? In our minds, nothing. But Jesus says not to worry. God knows what you have need of, and if He provides for the birds and the flowers, how much more will He provide for us that are made in His image? However, as with everything that God provides for us, there are prerequisites that must be adhered to, and they were just addressed in the subject verse. When we see the terms Kingdom of God and His righteousness, we are looking at being like Him in seeing things the way that He sees them, and thereby placing the things in the order that He does. And mind you, what we may think is important and put first on the list, God does not, and puts them further down the list. Here are a few examples. While listening to a young man asking me about what I would do if my family were starving and I didn't have a job and I was going to get thrown out of my house, wouldn't that be a good reason to go steal some food or presumably rob someone or maybe gamble on the lottery? Wouldn't God understand and forgive me? Now, I know that God would forgive me if I repented of it, but He does not understand why I had to do it in the first place. That shows a lack of faith in Him and His Word, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse number 12 says, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. There is nothing that God has promised to us that He will not deliver on. So, if I do something contrary to what He says, like thou shalt not steal, then that means I don't trust Him. That was only one of many simple examples. However, I want to address areas where to common belief is one way, while God calls it totally different. Recently, during campaigning for president, John Kerry was asked about his stance on abortion. He replied that as a Catholic, he did not support abortion, but because it was legalized by the Supreme Court, he would abide by the court's decision. Now, to him, this was the correct thing to say because he feels that women have the right to do with their bodies what they want and that no one can tell them any different. And he felt good with that answer, even though his church says something different. And while you women may think that way, you think God feels the same way? Not. To God, all life is precious. But as far as priorities go, innocent life, especially life in the womb, is far more precious because it is truly innocent. Has the child in the womb told a lie? Has it killed someone? Has it rebelled against God? Has it committed adultery or fornication? Of course not. But yet, men pronounce a death sentence on it. Couple that with our stance on capital punishment, where the perpetrator has killed someone and we want to protect them from being killed, we call it capital punishment, we call it revenge. But God is the one that calls for the murderer to be executed. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man, now listen, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. What we end up doing is protesting a guilty life and destroying an innocent life. Capital punishment, then, is God's justice and not man's revenge. And man's action on the innocent unborn child makes him a murderer, deserving of death. While listening to a talk show host one day, when having asked about what type of leader we need the nation for president, a caller called in and said, "We need someone that was a God-fearing individual." The person was implying that Republicans are usually the ones that have values based on the Bible. The host replied that it is more important that we have someone in office that cares for the hungry and the poor, that will provide health care for the uninsured, and a litany of other things. Now, to this host, these were more important. After all, the Bible does say we need to be sensitive to the poor, and that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, love for my fellow man, especially the needy, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." However, this host was missing something, and that is, what priority should these things be put in? The host had a valid point, but let me ask you this. Which is better? Coming upon a person that is starving and giving them a meal, knowing that in a few hours they will be hungry again, or putting them in a position where they can feed themselves for the rest of their lives? You know the old saying, give a man a fish and you feed him a meal. Teach him how to fish and you will feed him for a lifetime. Well, God tells us that if we turn from our wicked ways, He will heal our land, meaning We all will be blessed, and no one will be poor and have to starve or be sick. All things good will happen to us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Isaiah chapter number 1, verses 18 through 20 says, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So, what are our wicked ways? They are going against what God says. Most of these people that are poor and suffering are doing so or in that position because of this nation's rebellion against God. We slap him in the face 1.5 million times a year, over 49 million to date through abortion. Now, here's one of those areas where I said about the relevancy of the time. In 2005, the number was 49 million. Well, here it is in the year 2024, and it's over 77 million. So this is one of those areas where the number has changed. Anyway, we support gay marriage. We support separation of God and state. We support affirmative action. We call good evil and evil good. All of which the Bible addresses. Some of you may say, I don't support all those things. Well, according to Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, where it says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? If you support the political party that supports these things, then it doesn't matter what you think, you are supporting all of them. Now, more specifically, I am addressing Christians, for we hold the key in all of these things. If we don't do right, the entire nation is going to suffer. Someone said, good intentions are the devil's workshop. Well, that is a paraphrase of Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 and Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25, where it says, There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you don't have your priorities right, no matter how good your intentions are or what the polls say, you are headed for destruction and dragging everyone else with you. That is, except for those that do have their priorities right. Oh, yes, there are those of us that do have our priorities right, and we are doing our best to pass on the information to you, which is what God has said we should do, but you don't want to listen. If you intend to keep on in your stubbornness and prioritize things the way you think they should be, after all that you have read in this message or listened to in this message, then read Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 20-33, and see if you get the message. Well, that is the end of this particular message, and I hope that you got something from it. Like I said, this could be labeled as part 2 of the message from last month, but it takes a different turn in that we're talking about the choices that we make when dealing with problems and what kind of order we put those problems in. And unfortunately, in too many instances, we are making the wrong decisions because we're using the wrong set of guidelines, and the only thing we're doing is coming up with one big mess. And as a result of that, we continue to see things heading downhill, and we wonder, well, I thought God was supposed to do that. I thought the Bible says God said this and that and the other would happen if we do this. Yeah, he did. But the thing is, we don't want to do things God's way. We want to put the last things first and the first things last. And the result is that you come up with what you think is a proper solution, when in reality it's only leading you further down the road to destruction. So, in closing out this message, let me just say, as I always do, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, once again saying to you and yours, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together for another message from the Word of God. Good day.